Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thank you so much for joining us. We are worldwide. This is Jim Masters. Thanks for making us a part of your day. It's 2 p.m. Eastern at the time of our live broadcast, broadcasting worldwide on CUTV News Radio. It is Tuesday, September 26, 2017. We are live globally right now. However, we also archive our broadcasts. At the time of each broadcast, we record the broadcasts, and we archive them on our websites, as well as on iTunes and on Stitcher. So perhaps you'd like to hear this show again, or maybe share it with friends, family, colleagues, associates. You can certainly do that in our CUTV News archives. Thanks for joining us again. We are very excited to welcome a special and brand new guest to the CUTV News Radio live experience. Her name is Joan Rosenthal, and she's of Marigold Catering, which is really located in Cleveland Heights, Ohio, and a really, really successful business, something that created from the ground floor up and has become one of the most widely recognized and respected catering companies in her area, if not the country. You know, when you find the right caterer, you literally can taste the difference. Marigold Catering is a premier boutique food service company offering five-star restaurant-quality dining with outstanding event execution. Led by our special guest, its founder, Joan Rosenthal, Marigold has produced and catered hundreds of high-profile events, addressing every detail from menu creation to venue selection, flowers, lighting, linens, entertainment, and, of course, ambiance. Good word of mouth created by her business, bad word of mouth, would destroy it. That's right. It's incredible how that happens, according to Joan. She says she doesn't care if it's a wedding or a bagel for one. The standards that are set and the standards that she insists on are the same. Now, the company has 80 employees, 300 servers, and bartenders who have embraced Joan Rosenthal's vision, her model, and her brand. Recognized as Cleveland's top off-site caterer by CBC Magazine, this company boasts the highest quality products, cutting-edge presentation, and responsiveness that no other caterer of its size can offer. You're getting the love, the highest quality product and presentation, according to Joan. Catering isn't a meal. It's a memorable, special experience. And Marigold Catering doesn't just cater food, they deliver an experience. As for the future, we'll chat with Joan about that, but they are launching a sister company named Sprout. Sprout will offer the same quality food as Marigold without customization for a more affordable option. Joan Rosenthal hopes to develop her two companies simultaneously. She says Marigold is her legacy. The vision is to create a fiscally sound company in conjunction with the highest level of quality and continue to employ the people who rely on Marigold for their families. The website is marigoldcatering.com. We'll mention it again through the show, but again, it's marigoldcatering.com. I'm hungry just talking about all this great food and all this great success that this company's had. So to talk about all of this and so much more, let's take a moment to welcome our very special guest. It's our honor and pleasure to welcome Joan Rosenthal of Marigold Catering in Cleveland Heights, Ohio. Joan, thank you so very much for joining us. I hope you are on the air with me and maybe you whipped up a quick sandwich or something. I'm hungry. What? Talking about your great company.
Well, hey, Jim, I whipped it up for me, not you. Just saying. You know, that's funny. I'm a really good writer. That sounded really good what you just said, and I just wanna thank you for giving me an opportunity to not only speak with you but to talk about my company, because for me, this is my 20th year in business, and this experience is really surreal. I started in my mother's kitchen, and I never could have imagined that we would have we've had an amazing amount of success, but we've been blessed because, you know, for the duration of the 20 years, Jim, that I've been doing this, Cleveland has lost 6 to 7 of the top caterers. You know, small businesses struggle, and particularly food industry businesses, because traditional financing organizations, banks, don't really provide any sort of support. So it's a day-by-day struggle and challenge. And I'd like to also say that I feel you're not getting a meal with Marigold, you're getting an experience. But I think this interview that you're doing for me, I look at also as a wonderful experience. So thank you for having me.
Oh, it is our pleasure. I really would love to go back to the beginning. As you mentioned, you were inspired in your mother's own kitchen. Tell us about that. And how did you go, Joan, from those early days of inspiration, you know, in the kitchen with her, to then deciding that this was going to be your life's calling, your passion, the thing that you love doing in providing such a great service and so many memorable experiences for people? Take us through those early years, the beginning, to then when you started the company back in 97.
Right, and you said you'd like to go back to those days, Jim. I would never want to go back to those days. I mean, 20 years ago when I started Marigold, just like many small business people, you know, I didn't have a business plan. I have an MBA, but for God's sakes, I never learned how to write a business plan. And I started the company. I always believed in making every single person that I deal with, you know, my clients, my friends, strangers. I always want people to feel important, to feel special, to feel cared for. And so I started the company in a very small way as a concierge service. So what I did was I would contract with larger companies and provide like a hotel concierge service. Now, I want to point out that I worked for the Hyatt Hotels for several years. so I had a lot of experience in that world. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if I could take that to a company and provide that same sort of service for companies? So I contracted with a lot of different vendors. So, for example, I had a massage service, a shoe shine, car wash, who would come to the locations, oil change company. I had dry cleaning. I had laundry. And the other thing that I had was catering. So catering at the start was just a very, very small part of the whole company. And my background for my entire life has been in food service. So after about 3 years of providing all of these services, you know, I naturally went with the path of least resistance, which for me was the food aspect. And I was the only employee with a couple of other people, mostly friends, and my mother, who was a retired nurse and thought that perhaps she'd have a retirement to spend with her grandchildren and playing bridge. However, that quickly turned around, and she became one of the ways that I provided food for people. So I had two things going. I had my mother and her bridge club, and I contracted with a caterer. What I did was I went out and sold, and that's really what I do best. And so I was able to line up a lot of different customers. When I used another caterer, they would give me a good price, just like these other vendors, and then I would charge a little bit over what someone would pay if they went to a dry cleaner or went to a shoe shine place. And the difference between my cost and what I charged was how money came in. Now, at some point, I must have been a really good salesperson because I was we became too busy for everybody to handle what I was doing. So I rented a kitchen and then started hiring full-time staff. So we started out very small. We stayed in that kitchen, which was very small, very inappropriate for catering. It was more of a restaurant kitchen for about 7-8 years, and the business grew to close to $2 million in that business. Then I moved into a 15,000-square-foot facility in downtown Cleveland, and I'm going to correct you. The business is in Cleveland. My house is in Cleveland Heights, but I want no strangers visiting me. So when we moved into our location in Cleveland, that's when we really became a catering company. And we now are, you know, a several million-dollar company, which we're still a small business, but I am incredibly proud of what Marigold has become. What we've done, though, is never deviate from my philosophy. And the philosophy is, as I stated, making people feel loved, making each client feel like they're the only client. And that's what catering is. I mean, it's taking care of people. So that's, in a nutshell, the story of Marigold Catering. So anyways, I hope that addresses your question.
It certainly does, and obviously it seems that you have really high standards, and you mentioned, you know, setting really high goals for yourself, which is very important in almost any business, too, if you want success. But even more than that, you want excellence, and I always try to strive for excellence in everything I do, too. And, you know, especially for an industry like you're working in where it requires pleasing people on a daily basis, especially with catering, where it's simply you can't have any mistakes, right? Tell us a little bit about that and your record of success because of these high standards you've set and the history and track record of excellence that Marigold has really been able to capture and maintain all these years.
Yeah, well, the first thing I'm going to comment on is we are not, nobody in this company, I don't care if it's the dishwasher or the CEO, nobody is allowed to say good or fine, okay, not acceptable. We strive, as you said, for excellence, 150%. Now, you don't always achieve that, but you better believe you strive for that. So what we've remained loyal to is the brand. And, you know, what I didn't let you really get a good feel for is when I, again, going back for a minute to when I started, you know, if I had a corporate client and it was a 10, 20, 30, I don't care how many people, it was set up like a banquet for, a, you know, with risers and linen and flowers and pretty display pieces and wood and marble. And each one of those corporate clients would feel like they were at a banquet. Now, my competitors don't do that. They, you know, they drop the food off. They say, here, set it up, goodbye. Doesn't mean that that's not appropriate. Does not mean that at all. And there's many, many fine caterers out there, and that's the way they operate. That, however, was not and is not our model. So what we have at Marigold is a very distinctive model, and that has continued from the inception of this company through the 20 years that I've owned this company. Everybody on my staff has embraced this. Now, that was a struggle, getting everybody to that point. We've gone through a lot of employees because not everyone embraces, not everyone has drive, not everyone understands the concept of excellence. But we've evolved into a group of people like a family. We count on each other. We've evolved into a company, into a group of people, into a family that all embrace the brand. So, you know, forgetting what your question was, I will say I hope I answered
your question.
About
your high standards and how your high standards and high goals have really led to the success and maintained the success that you have. And I also imagine, too, Joan, because your employees that you've described must really appreciate all of this because they know what your expectations are, and your expectations are very clear. Sometimes these days, you know, everybody's so busy running around, there's so many changes, mergers, this, that, and that, that people sometimes lose sight of what the expectations are, the mission is, what they're supposed to be doing, but you seem to really have it strategized in a way that they're clear, they're understandable, and if you can work with us as a team to meet these expectations, possibly even exceed them, it's fantastic for one and for all, right?
Well, and if you do, you are beloved and embraced. I mean, we bring people up really started with no experience, maybe don't come from the same kind of families that we've been blessed to come from, and we've created men and women, and we've modeled integrity. We have modeled honor. We have modeled excellence, and that is my gift to the staff. Their gift to me is embracing my philosophies, my brand. So, you know, it is a two-way street, and I understand that, I respect that, and that's the way I want it to be.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about. You know, we speak to a lot of CEOs and executive coaches and more over the years, and the CEOs always talk about how they wish they could almost clone themselves. The executive coaches always talk about organizational culture. They're being brought into organizations with sometimes a terrible culture, low engagement, and they need to sort of reset and strengthen that culture. So it really doesn't sound like you need any of that because you've set the tone from the beginning, the operations of the business, capable hands that you have, and you're on top of it.
I want to jump in here because I don't want to clone myself. It's not about me. It is not about me. What I need to bring into this company is everybody's input because I learn every freaking day. So you can't clone me. I don't know everything, nor do I profess to, you know. I want I have talented, smart people who care, and I want to learn from them, and I do. And so, no, I don't want to clone myself, and you could tell those executive coaches to go fly a kite because that's not how this business operates.
So, although some of them are really good at what they do, and they're good clients of ours, and they're talented.
Well, I don't.
Moving on.
I don't dismiss the need for them. I just feel like in certain areas,
you don't need it.
The point of the question was, you
don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. The question actually was, if we review a little bit, that you didn't need any of those things. That's what we were saying, that you didn't need any of those things.
I might have needed it.
So let's plan a wedding. Let's talk about the work at hand. Let's say I'm planning a wedding, and the wedding is getting closer, and I'm looking at Marigold Catering. What could somebody expect? Let's talk about the actual nuts and bolts of event planning and some of the great things that you do from events that actually happen. Somebody's connecting with you for the first time, and they have a wedding or some other big event happening. What happens from there?
Well, the first step is listening to what their vision is for the event. You know, what we need to do is create the bride and groom's vision, and in most cases, the mother of the bride's vision, you know. But what you need to do is really listen. And then we take them through a series of questions about, you know, size, feel. We're in several venues in the Cleveland area, many of which we're exclusive at. And so all of them accommodate different size parties. So, you know, we find out the size of the party and, you know, we offer some suggestions on where we might be able to take them. And then we bring them in for a meeting. We introduce ourselves. We talk. Now we're ready to talk a little bit about menu, even though they haven't contracted with us yet. We talk about menu, and then we start the process of the proposal. And our proposal, if they want it to, would include everything from your, you know, we'll refer vendors. So we would we'd give them a flower person, a cake person. We take care of the alcohol and all of that, anything food related or beverage related, we would take care of. But there are so many different aspects for a bride, and for the most part, it's overwhelming because if they're accountants, I'm overwhelmed. I don't know what they're talking about, but they don't understand our world, and why should they, right? So we take them through each step. We make recommendations on vendors. We do then walkthroughs. Once we narrow down what venues they're interested in, one of the event planners, whoever's assigned to the wedding, will walk them through different venues. It's just like buying a house in a sense because, when I was buying a home, I walked into 100 homes and then 101 for me. You just have that feeling, whether it's a dump or not, you know that's what you can create as your home. And it's very much the same with finding a venue for a bride. And so she'll find the venue. We then, put that menu together with an estimate. Many times we have to tweak and play around with until we hit their price point, and we're very accommodating. It's not about gouging the client. It's about if we can make it work. We're not for everybody. We're a little bit more on the expensive side because of the services and the experience we provide, and our brand sells ourselves. People know us, and so we're not the cheapest on the street, but we know how to tweak and accommodate. So once we get that all set and we find a place where the bride and groom are comfortable, we'll send a contract. Then we do the tasting. And the tasting is one of the most important parts of the whole experience because we make everything from scratch, but it doesn't mean we make everything to somebody's profile, So what we do is we taste most of the menu, and we sit with our chefs and the bride and groom and the event planner, and the menu is tweaked so that it fits exactly what the bride and groom want. And then, a couple weeks before the wedding, we'll meet again, address any final questions. And by the way, it's complete transparency, and we have a complete open door. And in the case of a wedding, there is a lot of contact, unlike a benefit, where it's not as, maybe a benefit's a bad example, but just a regular party, you don't have all of that contact. There's not that emotional connection throughout the whole process. So, with the bride and groom, it's a little bit different. So you've got a lot of contact, but really the process I just described is how this is handled. And then the day of the wedding, we've got an on-site event planner that manages everything from nuts to bolts and, receives all the orders, knows exactly who the final vendors are, receives those orders, gets everything set up, manages their staff, and then stays with the event throughout the duration of the event so the bride is comfortable, so the mother, the bride is comfortable. And that's pretty much it. That's a wedding. I don't think I left anything out, but I may have.
You really address every detail and element of the function from the, like I was mentioning in the introduction, the menu creation to the venue selection, the flowers, the lighting, the linens, entertainment, ambiance. Because a lot of times, there's a lot of emotion involved in the events for the people that are having them, and they can forget little details, or there's oversight. And I know that you, in addition to this type of work that we're talking about, you've also produced fundraisers and galas for many of Cleveland's most prestigious institutions, including University Hospitals, Cleveland Museum of Art, Cleveland AIDS Task Force, Shaker Lake Nature Center, Western Reserve Land Conservancy, and on and on and on, including Cleveland's Museum of Contemporary Art. And with your private clients, you maintain that high level of confidentiality as well. Some of the most powerful, recognized people in and around the city have also used you for catering events as well. How does that make you feel to know that you started, you know, from those beginnings, founded this in 97, you're still going strong, you've got a network of fabulous people who depend on you, a team of solid staff who support you and support the vision, and you continue to grow and expand. How does that make you feel, Joan?
Well, you know, in my world, Jim, it's a little bit weird. It's not like a CEO sits in a chair and relaxes. And I'm not saying CEOs relax. Let me put it differently.
You're a hands-on person, definitely, yeah.
Well, you know, we're hands-on. And a lot of times when you have larger companies, the CEOs don't need to be hands-on. But in my world, I'm very hands-on. So until about 16, 17 years into the business, I wasn't able to take a step back, take a deep breath, and really see what was happening. And I know that sounds weird, but so this experience, and I think I said this when we started, Jim, this whole thing is surreal for me because I haven't been able to remove myself and really experience the success. I've been so into every single aspect of the business, including washing dishes when necessary. You know, I kid around with my guys. I say, Jesus, I can't get a promotion. But you do what you have to do. And you think outside the box, and you're in the heat of the battle. So until about 3 years ago, I never really could engage in my own mind the success of my business. And now I've got a wonderful partner that I brought on named Mike Smith, and he pretty much runs the entire company. And then I am able now to look in and say, wow, I'm blown away, you know. And I don't say that in a conceited manner. I'm like in shock. And I feel so blessed, and I feel so lucky, and I feel so appreciative. That's a better word. And it also allows me to go out and do the work I do with the homeless, and really help the people that I think I need to help and be a part of their lives. And before I couldn't do that, but having Mike is my gift. You know, I mean, he runs this entire company, and I'm like in shock that I'm able to do what I do.
Yeah, it's still an awe-inspiring experience for you, and I can tell that. And you have the enthusiasm, the passion, you haven't – it's like as if it's still day one for you, obviously. You still have that real, real dedication to it and dedication to quality, and that's why it's working, and that's why you have people who love being around you and working with you, for you, but also with you, as you've described, and – it's a tremendous experience. I really encourage folks to go to the website for Marigold Catering. The website is www.marigoldcatering.com. Check it out. I've been perusing it the last couple of days in preparation for you, and it really is a beautifully prepared website, fully functional and very, very detailed. It's a good starting point for you as well. We've got to run, Joan. I can't believe the whole half hour is gone, but we wish you continued success in everything you do. Keep us updated in the exciting things that are happening with you and Marigold Catering, and thank you so very much for joining us on the show today. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it, too. Thank you so much, Jim, and have a great day, okay?
You too. Take care now. Our very special guest, Joan Rosenthal of Marigold Catering. Don't forget the website, marigoldcatering.com. For all of us here, I'm Jim Masters, CU TV News Radio. Thank you very much for joining us as well. We hope you have a terrific day.
You've been listening to CU TV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CU TV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.